need a roll, sitting there all calm and collected. We're getting ready to worship, though, so shake off the heavy weights of this life, and let's enter into a time of just praising God and giving Him the honor and the adoration that He's due. In Psalm 95, says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." I think that's appropriate for this morning, don't you think? "Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." How many know that His presence is here right now? His presence is wherever you are, and we have all come together, and so His presence is here right now. Let's make sure our hearts are full of thanksgiving during worship. Let us shout joyfully with psalms. That's songs. Let us shout joyfully with songs. For the Lord is the great God. Then in verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." It's a change of heart from just rejoicing and shouting to really getting ready to honor Him. So if sometime during this service you start sensing His presence, you start sensing Him drawing you in, just take time. You don't have to even sing the song. Just start worshiping Him. If you need to, bow down, sit down, humble your heart. There's something about humility where God likes to fill that space, likes to draw that individual in. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Yes, Lord, we are Your creation, Lord. You have made us, Lord. Then as we said in prayer earlier, Lord, You have chosen us, Lord. We didn't choose You, You chose us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for this relationship of love. Thank You, Lord, for the gift, God, of relationship, for the gift, God, of knowing You, Lord. Thank You for the gift of God, Lord. You are the greatest gift we could ever receive. Jesus, we just praise You right now. We just worship You right now. Just speak thanksgiving thoughts to Him. You can speak them out loud. You can speak them in your heart. Let's just create an atmosphere of gratefulness, an atmosphere of thanksgiving. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We praise Your name. We invite You, Lord, to work in our lives today. We invite You, Lord, to have Your way, not our way, Lord. We invite You, Lord, to be our God and let us be Your people. Help us be good children today, Lord, and give You the attention and the focus, Lord, that You are due, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. We rejoice in You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Stand together, church. I don't know why anybody else is here in the room, but I know my family is here to worship. We're here to gather with the saints and lift up the name of Jesus. And adore Him and worship Him. We're not distracted by yesterday. We're not distracted by tomorrow. Giving Him our full attention right now. We adore You, Lord. We adore You, Lord.
Christ the Lord, oh come.
on you today. We just focus on you this morning, my Jesus, my Jesus. We lay down our burdens, all the stress, all the anxiety. We lay it down, we lay it down. If you need a touch from heaven, just receive it.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us.
You surround me with a song. The deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. See, you unravel, and you unravel me, and with a melody, you surround me with a song. And of deliverance, and from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Sing, I'm no longer, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And from my mother's womb, and from my mother's womb, and you chosen me. Love has called my name, and I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, 'cause I'm no so. I'm no longer a slave to fear, it's been defeated. I am a child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
So, I know there are several people that are standing in this room that need healing in their body. I'm one of them. And so I'm going to ask you to be brave if it's you, if you need healing for your physical body, if you would just come forward. And as you do, what I'm going to say is this. A lot of times in Scripture, in the New Testament, when Jesus is healing someone, normally, not all the time, but normally it's a person that's not a believer. He's walking along and he sees somebody on the road, or a lot of those people don't believe in him. And he touches them and he heals them. How much more for you as a child of God do you need the touch of the Lord today? Manifested in your physical body. I remember one time I was struggling terribly bad with leg cramps. I was on quinine and all this kind of stuff, and I had it from a young teen until many, many, many years later, and I got tired of it. I remember I was laying in bed and I'm like, okay, this, I'm done with this mess. Jesus loves me, this I know, you know what I'm saying? And so I looked at the clock and it was 11:11 at night. I laid there until after 2 in the morning, and every time a leg cramp hit, I took it back to 11:11 the night before, and I said, Jesus healed me this day, this time. Enemy, you have to go. It wasn't immediate. It didn't happen. It can, but it didn't for me. It was 2 something in the morning, and I finally fell asleep, even though I was still having leg cramps. And I woke up the next morning, I'm like, I believe. You healed me, Jesus. 11:11 last night, you healed me. Thank you, Lord. He says, in all things, this is the will of God for you, to thank him. So when you are getting touched this morning, and you're standing here in obedience like Tara, you remind the enemy of today. This time, this date, Jesus healed me. Enemy, you have no power over me any longer. So if that's you, I invite you to come forward like these 2 brave women did. And we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe with you. For this time, you guys, it's 10:53. The date is the 22nd of March. And today is the day. Amen. Can we sing it, Pastor Eric?
Split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. And you rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. We declare it. I am a child of God. and healing. I am a child of God. You take care of me, Father. I am a child of God. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Child of God. Worthy is
is the Lamb, and worthy is the King, and worthy is the One who reigns forever, seated on the throne and high above it all, and everyone will know You're like no one. See, there is no one, and there is no one like the Lord our God. You've been faithful every day of my life, and I could search the world and never find another like You. There's no one, God, no other like You. Sing, there's no one, there is no one like the Lord our God. You've been faithful every day of my life. Thank You, God. I could search the world and never find another like You.
Thank You, Jesus. Well, people full of faith, let's go ahead and lift up Moses and Gina's family. I don't know if you've heard, but their nephew passed away last week in a boating accident in Alaska. And I know that Moses and Gina and many others in the family, they could say that there's no one like him in their lives. But I'm sure right now the hearts are heavy. So Father, we lift up the Marquez family, we lift up the Morovich family, Lord, and we just pray right now that Your peace, Your mercy, God, Your comfort of the Holy Spirit would come. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters right now. We ask You, God, to give them words to speak for those that don't know You. Lord, comforting words, words of hope, Lord. We ask, God, that You would just allow, Lord, Your presence to fill whatever services they have, Lord, and allow, God, You to be the focus, God. You to be the focus, Lord. Your peace, God, Your comfort, Lord. And what the enemy has meant for evil, Lord, we believe, God, that You can make good in these lives, Lord. We just ask right now that You would touch these families. Help Moses and Gina minister well, Lord, to anyone, God, that needs encouragements in their heart. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We ask You, Father, to continue to bring full restoration to Your daughter, Phyllis, Lord. We thank You, God, that she is recovering, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that the injuries that she sustained during a fall, Lord, are being mended by You, Lord. But we pray, God, for full recovery. We pray for health, Lord, and restoration for Your daughter. We send her love right, send Your love right now and our love to her right now by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, greet someone, love on someone, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Thank you, team. Awesome.
All right. Good morning. If you guys can stand with me, we are going to do our declaration for the house. Today, we are believing for amazing things for One Life Family Worship. Amen. Believing that God is going to move mightily in our church. And as well as, I want to declare this, it may sound funny, but I want to declare this for all churches in our valley as well. I think hundreds of churches in our small town and gathering this morning. And I just want to believe that wherever God's people are, they're getting blessed. Amen? Amen. All right. So declare this with me on three. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Yes. Father, we thank you so much for this house. We thank you, Lord, for the house of God, Lord, as a whole, God. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you would continue to move, Lord, in the hearts and the lives, Lord, of those who call this place home, God. I pray, Lord, blessings, God. I pray, Lord, for financial blessings, Lord, over those who need it, God. I continue praying for houses to sell. I continue praying for houses to be bought in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for all sickness, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would heal bodies, Lord, that you would heal ears, Lord. You would heal eyes, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this is a house of God, that this is a house of miracles, that this is a house of prayer, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that in this house we are going after you, Lord, and nothing less, Lord. We thank you so much, God, for who you are, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you guys can be seated. With this, I'll announce. So, in 2 weeks is Easter, and in the church world, you know, every Sunday is a big deal. But in the church world, the two Super Bowl Sundays are Christmas and Easter, and this is a great time for us as a body of Christ to go out and invite our friends, our family, our coworkers. Especially if they don't have a Sunday gathering, these are great times for you to just bring them in the house of God. So I would just challenge everybody. And I'm challenging myself as well to, you know, be an inviter. Think of two people that live in Yakima and say, hey, do you have a place to be Sunday on Easter? Come with me. Come sit next to me. And let's just see this place full of God's people. Gaylene wanted me to remind us as well that we'll be doing our continental breakfast as well on that Sunday. And so it's going to be a great time of connecting. And I bring this up for this because this is, you know, if anyone wants to connect, wants more information about our church, this little QR code that's as well in the hallway there gets us stays connected. A little Google form you could fill out, and you could do that. And then prayer nights. So this is something we've been going after. We're going to continue to go after. This is what God has on our hearts and our pastor's hearts. And we're going to be praying this upcoming Saturday in the St. Martin House out in Tyatin. And Pastor Mike will be sending out that information this week. And, you know, I again want to emphasize the importance of gathering as a body. And I haven't been able to go to every single one of them, but the ones that I've been a part of, you really get the sense of the presence of God. And for me, I think it emphasizes again that the house of God isn't limited to a little building on McGonagall Road. It's not limited to the big church down the road. It's not limited to anything except where God's people are, that's where God is. Amen. And so when we gather on a Saturday night, when we take sacrificial time and say, you know what, I could be anywhere Saturday night, but I'm going to choose for an hour and a half, 2 hours to go and pray with my church family, something powerful happens. Amen. And if you don't believe me, well, I guess you got to come and find out. So that's my little sales pitch for prayer. Thank you guys for giving. You guys can give in the box here, as you guys know, box in the back as well as online. And thank you for praying into your tithes and offering. And then last but not least, can I get the children up here? We are going to release the children downstairs. Cool. All right. So, Father God, we thank you so much for these little ones. We just pray blessings over them, blessings over their lives, blessings, Lord, over this lesson, Lord, that they have, that they're going to get. And we just thank you, Jesus, for who you are in their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing something mighty inside of them, God. We thank you that there is no junior Holy Spirit, Lord, and the same Spirit that is alive in us, Lord, is alive in them. And so we just declare, Lord, your love and your mercy over them. We pray, Lord, over the teachers over there, Lord, that you would bless them and you would give them strategy, Lord, how to minister to these young souls. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Release the children. That sounds like Sounds exciting or also scary at the same time. Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing this morning? Good?
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay. Well, still talking about prayer. And some of you are like, oh, Pastor, not prayer still. Well, I'm going to be talking about prayer and communicating about prayer until we fully are a house of prayer. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be, you know, going in and checking your guys's, you know, calendars in your book to see if you have prayer scheduled. But you know what happens when you pray? Something happens inside of you. Start changing. It's like when you start reading the Word, you start changing. It's just it just happens. And spending time with God in prayer, it changes you. And so, as I've communicated before, this is our verse for this year, at least, about being a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus, in his declaration to the people in the temple, was when he was, you know, running them out because they were using it for things that it wasn't designed for, he reminded them that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7. And then Eric did a great job of communicating about our prayer nights. They're working out to there about every other week. Sometimes they might be every week, depending upon how schedules work out. And I think because I've been communicating about it for a while now, next week I'm going to bring a sign-up sheet for the month of April. And so if any of you have been desiring to have it in your home where you can actually have the presence fill your home, and I'm here to tell you that it will affect you. It will help bring change and transformation to your heart because, you know, where the presence of the Lord is, there's joy, there's liberty, there's freedom, and things that maybe you've been struggling in your life have, you know, and you don't have to have, you know, everything all squared away. You don't have to, you know, Gay likes to make sure that there's coffee and stuff, but it doesn't have to be like that. It could just be a few chairs around in a little room that you have, and we'll pray there. We don't need anything fancy to pray. All we need is God's people to come together. So I encourage you to be part of the host homes if you can. And today we're going to be talking about the Trinity of transformative prayer. Now, as I was telling Jesse, this can get a little complicated because I'm going to be communicating about the Greek a little bit and what it means as far as a word in the Greek. It's actually maybe three words we're going to focus on. But the reason being, because I want you to understand that there is like this communication that happens in prayer and this connection that happens in prayer that is from a right perspective, a right heart, not just, you know, throwing up something, you know, just a quick, oh, help me, Jesus, you know, that's good. He'll come. But there's something about a disciplined and a thought process in your prayer that I think will bring transformative prayer to your life, which will transform you, as I said. So the Power of Prayer is a series. I want to remind you that I have this acronym that is just a way to remind you a little bit more about the depths of prayer, and it's purposeful requests aligning your eternal reality. And the example of this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is in the hour that he knows that when he makes this decision, when he steps out of this garden, that the whole process is going to start happening very quickly. He's going to be turned into the hands of sinful men, of the first of all, the religious leaders, officers, and then the religious leaders, and then go to Pontius Pilate, and eventually be hanging on the cross. But in his anguish that he was praying, he said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. He came into his eternal reality through that moment of prayer. And I believe that's truly how our hearts need to approach prayer. So today our verse is Colossians 4:2. And it'll sound really simple on the surface. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And how many have read that verse before or seen that verse before? It's a good verse. But the problem is our English does not do it justice of what's taking place in this verse. And so hopefully today I'm going to be able to communicate to you some truths that are hidden in that, those, how many words? 8 words. An 8-word sentence, but it has, I mean, I did 15 pages of notes on what it could mean. those eight words. So hopefully I will do it justice. If not, forgive me, okay? Let's go and open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are not limited by what I communicate from this preaching standpoint, Lord, but it's you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to each and every heart the truth that they need to hear today. Lord, that it would not be my words, Lord, but it would be your words, Lord, and that you would allow me, Holy Spirit, to synchronize with heaven. You'd allow me to synchronize with the thoughts of heaven and the thoughts of the Spirit at this time. And I pray, God, that this truth, this reality, Lord, of truly what a transformative prayer could be, Lord, would come across for each and every one of us, and it would transform our prayer lives in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's start off with devoted yourselves to prayer. So devoted yourselves, it sounds, how many have heard the word devotion? Devotion usually means that you're devoted to something, you're giving yourself to it. That's good, but let's take a look at what this word actually means in the Greek. The Greek is what most of the New Testament was written in. There was probably some in what was known as Aramaic at the time, but most of Paul's writings, and this is a writing of Paul, was in what's called the Koine Greek. And so let's go ahead and take a look at the literal meanings. It means to adhere to. So when something's adhered, it's like glued, right? Be devoted to, give unremitting care to, persevere, continue steadfastly. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about a tenacity. We're talking about almost like a fervency. You know, there's a scripture in James where it says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much, or a righteous woman avails much. In other words, it accomplishes a lot when you're fervent. So the significance, or transformative significance, to this verb or this word is, this is a present imperative meaning. It means keep on continuing. So it doesn't mean like when we get done here and you guys wait till next Sunday to come back and pray and worship God, and that will be again your time to pray to God or seek God or worship God. It actually should be a continuing process. And this goes right along where Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing, that it's supposed to be a continual process, an ongoing, continuous persistence in prayer. It's not a one-time action, but a lifestyle of devotion. And get this, the middle passive voice, it's basically what's being communicated, emphasizes personal involvement and dedication. So this isn't just saying devoted to prayer to the Colossians, and that's their message. This is to us that are hearing it, and it requires us to respond to it. Requires us to say, okay, God's calling me to this prayer thing that Pastor keeps talking about. How do I activate that in my life? And I've told you before that you have to sow into prayer. So, you know, if you say, well, you know, I just haven't had the time, or I haven't really had the focus, or I haven't had the heart for it, come to a night of prayer at one of these homes. It will help activate, because you'll be sowing into prayer. If you find out that, you evaluate your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that maybe you need some more prayer in your home, maybe just make sure that at the meal you start with prayer. And I encourage you not to just pray for the meal. Maybe pray for the needs of the family or need that you heard about today. Start making it a process that you are doing continually. Amen. Amen. The next part, being watchful. So the idea that prayer is connected to being watchful. So if you read that scripture, you could say, well, I'm going to devote myself to prayer, and then I need to be watchful, and then I need to be thankful. But it's not really that. We're going to see that these all tie together. But in prayer, being watchful. So what does this word being watchful mean? Do you see like that Roman guard? Keep him in mind. It's watchful is the strong G1127. It literally means to watch, to be awake, to be vigilant, to be alert, to keep awake. So the word's root means wake up. So in our prayers need to be like we're awake. Our prayers need to be like we're attentive to what we know maybe God's putting on our heart. See, if we're just going through the motions, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of alertness. So there's not a lot of, has anybody ever seen, used to wear a t-shirt that says, be alert, the world needs more alerts. It's kind of like this, yeah, you probably saw me wear it, Jesse, years ago. The idea is that though we need to be alert, we need to be like, you know, sober-minded in prayer. We need to make sure that it's not something that we're doing slumbering. And we'll see an example of that in the scriptures. Literally, the disciples were slumbering. So what is the transformative significance of this? This present participle describes continuous action. So it's keep watching. It's stay awake. It invokes the image of a sentry maintaining alert guard duty. This goes along with Ephesians 6, where I communicated. It's like your feet are locked into position. It's like you can't easily be pushed over in this type of attitude, in this type of heart. In the spiritual sense, it means being vigilant against temptation or deception and spiritual danger. It's the opposite of spiritual slumber or complacency. So this word being watchful in prayer means that it's not that we're to be devoted to prayer and then just be watchful. No, we're making sure that in our watching, it has to be associated with prayer. So when we see something, we hear something, like we have a prayer chain. Last week, I heard that family lost their son, and I sent out a prayer request. Those that are watchful in prayer, they see that. They can either agree with my prayer, or they can add to it in their hearts and say, Lord, touch this family. It's that. That's being watchful. That's being attentive. That's taking a need that you hear and practically applying your power of prayer. See, the power of prayer isn't just the power of prayer synonymous with everything. It's your power of prayer. It's your power that you have in prayer. Prayer is a power force. Prayer is like a weapon. That's why the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal. They're not of this earth. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. They are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know the kind of things I've been involved. My prayers have no power. No, that is not truly who you are in Christ. Your prayers have power when you're in Christ. If you don't feel like your life aligns and you can't pray, well, then ask for forgiveness, whatever is not aligning with God, and then go on and pray for people. I guarantee as you draw closer to God, He'll draw closer to you, and those things will fall off your life. All right, and then this final thing, in prayer, be thankful, or with prayer, be thankful. Notice the thankful's at the end, so it doesn't sound like it's connecting to prayer, but we'll see in the Greek it does. It connects to prayer. So your prayer needs to be devoted, needs to be steadfast, it needs to be continuing. Your prayers need to be watchful and attentive, but also you need to have thanksgiving in them. Why do you need thanksgiving? Because if you just make them devoted, you just make them watchful, they become a routine. They become works. And then if you don't see like the results that you think you should get, then you become bitter. You become angry. Like, God, I've sat here and I've been praying for 20 years and there's no result. But if you're thankful, if you can keep your thankfulness for God, for His love in your life, for His love in your family, for all that He's done for you, all that He will do, or all that, you know, all of the things that we can be thankful for, salvation itself. If you're not saved, get saved, and you will be thankful, because you'll come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of His Son. And that is a reason to be thankful. Amen? Amen. And so we have an opportunity now to be thankful in prayer. So what does that mean? That means to thank God for the answers He's going to bring. I have some prayers that I pray for people, and I say, thank you, Lord, for your touch in my family's life, of your hand of mercy and love. Just something simple like that. But I'm thanking Him for His touch of His hand in my family, or in my friends, or whoever I'm praying for, because His touch of mercy and love is in their life, whether they know it or not. So I thank Him for that touch in their life. Amen? Amen. So let's look at what this word thankful means. It's the word Eucharistia, and it's where we get the word Eucharist. For those who have Catholic background, that's part of the communion name, is the Eucharist. And if we look at this, it means good grace. So it's a way for us to be thankful for God's good grace, appreciative of God's good grace. You know, when you receive something from someone, and you don't thank them or you're not grateful, you're probably going to be a long time before you get something from someone. Unless it's your parents and they'll give it to you anyway. But when you're grateful, when you're thankful for a gift, guess what? More gifts keep coming. And I believe God wants to give us good gifts. And not just physical, in the physical, but in our spirits, in our spiritual life. He wants to give us good gifts. He wants us to be fully equipped for every good work that he has for us. And I believe being grateful for what we have now brings more into our life. So what does this word mean? Gratitude. Actually, grateful language to God as an act of worship. I love this. So how many know that prayer is an act of worship? It is, because it's part of a life that's being given to him on the altar. It's like a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice that, you know, a drudgery, but it's a sacrifice, a gift that we're giving him. It's an act of worship. And so being grateful and thankful in that act of prayer, that act of worship, it allows us to have the right framing or the right perspective, the right attitude to our prayers. You know, Jesus, think of him in the garden again. You know, he's sweating drops of blood. He does not want to go to the cross. The natural man of Jesus does not want to go to the cross. He knows what it's going to mean. He knows the pain. He knows they're going to pull his beard out. He knows he's going to wear a crown of thorns. He knows these things. And so he does not want to go there. But you know what? In his recognizing the Father, I believe that some point in that garden, he became thankful. And he became thankful for the joy that was set before him. It says he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's Hebrews 12. I believe at some point he realized, oh, there's going to be joy in this because Eric Lopez is going to be in my kingdom. Eric Lopez is going to be part of the bride of Christ. Eric Lopez is going to be in someday with a family that's full of faith. He saw us. That was the joy. The Villalobos, he saw you guys. And it became a joy to him, I believe. That's why when he comes back to the disciples, you hear resolve in his voice. Come on, let's go. The hour's here. He's ready to move into what will bring us full salvation in life. That's because he found thankfulness, I believe, in the garden at some point. We don't read about it, but I believe he must have. What else? If he started seeing that joy that was laid before him, if you see a joy that's laid before you, do you start feeling thankful? Yeah. You start thinking about the goodness of God, you start feeling thankful. I believe when he started seeing all the line of history of people that were going to come to him, he started getting thanksgiving in his heart. And his prayer was a prayer, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? All right. So yeah, reframing challenges as opportunities for gratitude. I love that part. So in other words, our challenges don't become something that causes us to run into a brick wall. Our challenges become something that we start thanking God for what he's going to do to remove them or what he's going to do to give us the ability to go right through them in him. Challenges aren't meant to be the end of our faith. They're meant to be a stone or a block or a stairway into deeper levels in God. All right, so here's a description that kind of maybe will show you an image, show you really what's going on here. We're to devote ourselves to prayer. In other words, we're to be continually pursuing a prayer life in God. And then in prayer, we're to be watchful. We're to keep a vigilance. We're to be like sentries. We're to be like guards watching for what God has for us to pray for or what we are praying for. Maybe even during prayer, you're going to have thoughts that come into your mind that are going to try to say, oh, you know what, you need to call that person or you're going to get phone calls and texts. I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to turn off your phone when you're praying because the enemy knows how to get your attention away from praying. I even just an email or something, it pops up on my screen. I like go off, and fortunately, God allows me to come back, and he doesn't, you know. But I'm saying you can get to the place where you're down at the day, and you go, did I finish prayer? And you're like, no, you didn't finish prayer. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'll be there tomorrow. Or, you know, because you're already in your day. It's going. So make sure that you're watchful and attentive and not falling into temptation, which we'll see in a minute. And then in prayer, with prayer, being thankful. So if you put these three things together, you know what you have? You have a trinity of transformative prayer. In other words, the devotion, the devoted, the being constant in your prayer, consistent in your prayer, with the watchfulness, with the thankfulness, the thanksgiving, creates a resilient communion. I love that. In other words, those three combined together make a powerful prayer life. Because see, if you just make watchfulness and thanksgiving, then you're not really going to be consistent. You know, I used to have a prayer life that, you know, kind of when I thought about it, you know, I'd pray and you know, I was very studious about reading the word. But, you know, my prayer life was kind of like, come, see, come, you know, whenever it happened, you know. And I loved the Lord and, you know, he knew I loved him and he loved me. And so that was good. And then I hear a need, you know. But I realized I needed a daily devotion of prayer, just like I needed a daily devotion of reading the word. Because, you know, Jesus said, you know, you don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I believe our prayer life needs to be like that. I think we're seeing Paul communicating from prison in Colossians or to Colossians, and he's letting them know, listen, this needs to be part of your makeup. You need to be devoted to prayer. You need to be watchful in prayer and thankful with the prayer that you're praying. See, if you're missing any single element that leaves a believer's prayer life critically vulnerable to apathy, deception, or bitterness, they're all three necessary. So if you say, well, I'm devoted to prayer, but I don't think I have a thankful attitude when I pray, well, I have thanksgiving. If you're saying, well, I'm thankful in prayer and I'm devoted to prayer, but I don't think I have that attentiveness. I don't think I have that watchfulness. Ask God to put those attributes in your life. And I believe you're going to see your prayer life become a transformative power in your life, not only for you, but your whole family. So look at this. You're devoted to prayer. That's your posture. That's your attitude. That's how you approach God in a posture devoted. You know, it's like the beginning of the service said, come, let us worship and bow down. You know, not all of us can get on our knees. I've had knee injuries because I used to work up on the roof at Western RV and I had got sheet metal in my legs. And so I can't really kneel for very long, but it can still be an attitude in your heart of kneeling. You know, it doesn't have to be physical kneeling. It can be just you posturing yourselves, devoted to God, realizing that he's the source of your life, and he'll be the source of the answer of all these prayers. In other words, you're putting your heart and your soul into his capability, his capable hands. And then in watchfulness, in prayer, it's like protection. It's like you're guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You're coming before him and you're saying, Lord, you are my protector. You are my shield. You are my guard. You are the one that keeps me from, you know, like it says in the Lord's Prayer, you know, lead me not into temptation, Lord, but deliver me from evil. Or in some translations, the evil one. You're asking for him to help you to be watchful and protected. And then in thankfulness with prayer, it's a perspective. Like I said, Jesus said for the joy that was set before him. He didn't say it. Paul said it. But it's truly him saying it through Paul. For the joy that was set before me, Jesus is saying, I endured the cross. I despised its shame. And now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Jesus is praying for you right now. Thankfulness gives us God's perspective. It kind of lifts us up above all the circumstances. And all of a sudden we start seeing things from God's point of view. That's what Jesus said. Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. He saw the cross from God's point of view, from the Father's point of view. Not just from the pain, not from just the anguish, but he saw it from the joy. And then in 1 Peter 4:7, Williams, it says this, but the end of everything on earth is near. So be serious and sober minded that you may give yourselves to prayer. So I'm telling you, we live in a world that it looks like things are pretty crazy, right? Some people say the end is near. It may be. It may be tomorrow. None of us really know for sure. Time is in God's hands. But for our life, you know, we don't know when our expiration date is, or when we're going to, you know, leave this earth and have to, you know, move into eternity, into our next process. But right now, let's be sober. Let's be serious minded that now this doesn't mean that, you know, you're someone that, you know, can't have fun. You're someone that can't have, you know, enjoy other people's company. Not that you're not so, you know, serious that people feel like, you know, I don't want to be around them. No, but it means towards your prayers. It's so that your prayers become rooted in this soberness. And I heard a message when we were recently at a conference, and the individual said this: Lord, I have a burden for what I see. Now, a burden is like you're carrying a weight. And, you know, we're to not be burdened with life's problems, right? We're to cast them on Jesus. But sometimes we're burdened with what we see in our world. Like when I heard about the loss of the family, Sydney, I was burdened for that family. I felt for Moses and Gina and for all the family. I was burdened. So I lifted that up before the Lord. But we need to make sure that whatever we start to get in our hearts because of what we see, we turn towards prayer. We give it up to God in prayer. And then in Mark 14:38, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Remember, they were kept sleeping when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many know that your spirits want to pray all it can? Your spirits do. I mean, you know, if you could let your spirit run your being, you'd be praying all the time. You would be praying without ceasing. So the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh, oh boy, is the flesh weak. And what runs the ship most of the time? Flesh. It's the flesh. It's like that rudder, you know. It's the smallest part of the ship, but it drives the ship, doesn't it, where it's going to go. I don't care how much power the spirit has. If the rudder's going a different way, it doesn't have much power is pushing it. The rudder directs it. And then in James, it talks about the rudder being like our tongue. I guarantee how you speak and how you communicate, you know, not just at church, but, you know, in your regular life, that's like a rudder, and it kind of tells you the way your flesh is directed. It's like a guy, it's like a sign. It says, if you talk this way, you know, full of faith or full of hate or full of anger or resentment or bitterness, you know, that's kind of the way you're going. Now, this is in the Message. I like this. It's kind of wordy, but I love this last part because it really kind of communicates this idea between our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Stay alert. There we go again. Stay alert. Continuous. Be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. I like that. You ever think about that your prayers can keep you from entering into the devil's danger zone without even knowing it? Could be that your prayers are going to keep you from getting into something that you don't even want to think about. But your prayers stop it. But don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God. Amen? How many of you are like eager, ready? Whatever you were going to bring God, I'm ready for it. Your spirit is saying that. But get this. But another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. Does that not ever describe the flesh is weak? An old dog just sleeping there. Oh, this feels so good. It's kind of like you in bed in the morning. Oh, this feels so good. I don't want to get out of bed and pray. Or, you know, it's just whatever. I mean, the flesh enjoys being comfortable. And how many know that sometimes prayer, devotions, reading the word is not that comfortable? Sometimes it's not even fun. But you know what? Discipline. Constant discipline helps build up true joy in your heart, true joy in your life. So let me remind you one more time. We're to be devoted or continually pressing into prayer. And in that, we're to be watchful and attentive and watching what God has for us, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to pray, how he wants us to think even. And then be thankful with true thanksgiving and with a thanksgiving, knowing that these prayers are going into the hands of the one who can answer them. They're going into the hands of the one that will bring the results that we need in our lives. But I would encourage you to always let the Lord be sovereign in your life. Because, you know, when we let him be sovereign in our prayers, that doesn't mean that we don't pray by faith. But we ultimately say, Lord, your will be done. your purposes and your plans be fulfilled. That's the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We can have desires, and sometimes those desires can even be lining with his promises. We think, well, this means that this is to happen right now. Well, God's ways can be a little different than ours sometimes, right? So as we receive into our heart that God is sovereign, but we can be full of faith. I mean, it's kind of almost like this scale. Okay, how do I be full of faith, still give God sovereignty and not like, you know, just say oh, whatever. But then how can I, you know, let God be sovereign and then, you know, not even want to pray? You know, there's got to be this balance. And fortunately, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit can give you even prayers to pray, even if you don't know how to pray. Sometimes you say, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what to pray. I just allow you to pray through me. That's why the gift of tongues is awesome, because you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray with your understanding, but when you pray in the Spirit, it's like a secret weapon, because you don't even have to try to figure out. It says the mind is unfruitful. So praise God that there is a trinity of transformative prayer. And keep in mind, the power of prayer isn't just that prayer has power. The power of prayer is also that you have power in prayer, that you are a powerful individual that has the opportunity and the honor of praying and asking God for needs that you know about or needs you don't know about. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, this gift of prayer. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help all of us, God, to become houses of prayer, Lord, that prayer is part of our character, is part of our nature. Lord, I pray for us as a body of believers, Lord, that you would help us become a house of prayer. God, that when we are identified, Lord, by anybody in this city, Lord, say they are a praying church, Lord. Let us have that moniker. Let us have that mode of operandi, Lord, that we pray, Lord. I pray, God, that you forgive any of us, Lord, for a prayerless life. Lord, you forgive any of us, Lord, for not giving, Lord, your attention that you're due, Lord, in our prayers. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would allow each and every heart that's here today to be inspired, to be encouraged, and ignited to be prayer warriors and prayer vessels. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most seen worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the King, worthy is the One who reigns forever, seated on a throne, high above it all. Everyone will know your like no King. Worthy is the One who reigns forever, seated on the throne and high above it all, and everyone will know your like no other. There is no one like the Lord our faithful every day of my life, and I could search the world and never find another like you, another like you. Sing, there's no one, and there is no one like the Lord our God, and you've been faithful to search the world and never find another like you, another like you. One more time, there's no one. There is no one like the Lord our God. been faithful every day of my life. And I could search the world and never find another like you, another like you.
So, right here, oh, could you put that up again, Kate? So right here is an example of thankfulness. There's no one like the Lord our God. There's no one like the Lord our God. You've been faithful every day of my life. That's thankfulness. That's a prayer. There's no one like the Lord my God. You've been faithful every day of my life. Lord, I could search this entire world. I could look high and low. I could go to and fro. I could try to go on every single store and stream and whatever it may be. There'd never be another one like you. That's thankfulness. You need to get thankful. Maybe find a worship song that just speaks to your heart. You know them. When you hear them, it's like, oh, dude, that's good. Well, don't just listen to it one time. Listen to it. It's speaking to you. It's like a ministry. It transforms your heart, changes your attitudes, allows you to see the world from God's perspective. So, one more thing before we go. Pastor Eric shared about Easter and how it's a significant time for people to potentially go to church. I heard a statistic this week, and I verified it with several different sources, that 80% of the people out there that don't go to church now, they say if they were invited to a church, that they would go, especially on a significant day like Easter. So if you think there's people in your life, yeah, they'd never come, they might be part of that 80%. 80%. I couldn't believe it. I thought, Lord, what have we been missing with just a simple invitation? So I encourage you to let people know that there's a place that they can come. They'll be welcomed. And on Easter, they can have some food. But maybe God might touch their heart in such a way that they're never the same. Not just attend a meeting, but attend a life-changing moment, which you could be part of. So I encourage you to invite someone for the 4th, I think it is, April 4th, something like that, right around there, wherever the day falls in that Sunday, the first Sunday of the new April. So God bless you. Continue to pursue prayer in your life. If you have questions about the message, or you have questions about being a person of prayer, call me anytime. I'm available. I think the number is somewhere on the website, or, you know, ask somebody. Come up to me before the service is over. I'm happy to communicate to you about these truths that are transformative in your life. Amen. God bless you. Love you. You have a great day.